One characteristic the earliest Christians had in common was that they all spread the gospel to others. This is still a vital need today, as it was 2,000 years ago. Listen carefully to what Brother Dan Corner of EvangelicalOutreach.org is about to share for much more on how you can easily and effectively do that.
A soul winner is like a farmer, scattering seed which will fall on different types of ground. Our job as a servant of God is to obediently spread God's seed as far and as wide as we can to as many people as we can, just like a farmer in a natural. It is important for others as well as for us. We can't force anyone to repent and follow Jesus as soul winners. What we are to do is to spread the seed. Regardless if people accept or reject the Word of God, we are always successful if we are spreading the gospel because we obeyed God. When we spread the gospel, we give the Holy Spirit something to work with as He convicts people of sin. We are also expressing our love for God by obeying Him and also for the lost who we are trying to spare from going to hell. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. That's exactly how it works. A farmer's harvest in the natural doesn't happen overnight, and the vast majority of times it won't be quickly apparent when we go out soul winning and help people come to salvation. Hence, just be faithful and keep sowing gospel seeds. Remember, a farmer can't reap very much if he hasn't sown very many seeds. The more you witness and distribute gospel tracts, the more gospel seeds will be spread, and the potential of a bountiful, abundant harvest is greater. So God wants everyone to be saved, and that starts with them hearing the gospel as stated in Scripture. That is why we Christians have been sent forth with the word go to preach to every creature. And that wasn't just for the Lord's apostles. All Christians did that. They all witnessed to others, and I'll prove that to you in this teaching. To clarify, the gospel is the plan of salvation, that which will bring about salvation with a person becoming a new creation in Christ, one who has been set free from his sin addictions. Proof for that is found in 1 Corinthians 4:15. The apostle Paul wrote, I became your father through the gospel. So Paul became their spiritual father, and they were born again through the gospel message. For the sake of clarity, let me take a real quick look at what the gospel is not. The gospel is not just a reading from the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Neither does the gospel have anything to do with the rosary as Catholics want us to think. They actually teach the epitome of the whole gospel is the rosary, believe it or not. That's a quote unquote. The Jehovah's Witnesses think the good news of the kingdom or the gospel is connected with their preaching that Jesus started to rule and reign invisibly in 1914. I kid you not. Let me give a quote for that. The Watchtower, May 1, 1981, page 17, quote, that of Jehovah's Witnesses is really gospel or good news, as God's heavenly kingdom that was established by the enthronement of His Son Jesus Christ at the end of the Gentile times in 1914, unquote. Folks, imagine, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach the good news of the kingdom is when Jesus started to reign invisibly in the heavenlies. Shocking but true. No wonder they remain in spiritual darkness and death. They are sincere and religious but lethally deceived. But that's not all. Unfortunately, the once saved, always saved teachers declare that their message is also connected with their gospel, believe it or not. John Ankerberg said, quote, eternal security is one of the outstanding glories of the gospel, unquote. Charles Stanley teaches, quote, the very gospel itself comes under attack when the eternal security of the believer is questioned, unquote. And James White taught, quote, one must believe in the perseverance of the saints if one is to accurately present the gospel of grace. To do anything else is to edit the gospel, unquote. The truth is, the real gospel of the Bible has a conditional security for the believer. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now that He has reconciled you by Christ's physical death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved out from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And then, of course, the 1 Corinthians 15:2. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach, otherwise you have believed in vain. So a person who does get truly born from above needs to know he must endure to the end to be saved. Matthew 10:22, Hebrews 3:14, and Revelation chapter chapter 2, 10 through 11. We have to get into the kingdom. It's one thing to get born again, but we have to persevere and endure and continue in the faith to actually get into God's kingdom. That absolutely does not always occur. So though the eternal security teachers declare that their doctrine is directly related to the gospel, they are dangerously wrong. Now let's jump over to the Gospel of John as we note from Jesus' prayer for the saved, and we'll see something very important and related to all of this. In John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." So Jesus is speaking of future converts of Christianity who would come to believe on Jesus through his disciples' message. That means if one's gospel preaching doesn't magnify Jesus and cause a person listening to place their faith in Jesus for salvation, it's not the real gospel. Again, as the saints preached the good news of the kingdom, people believed in Jesus or placed their faith in Jesus. Jesus is always the focus of gospel preaching. It is not Jesus and Mary. It's not Jesus and belonging to a particular religious group. It is Jesus. The focus is on Him, the Son of God who died on the cross and rose again from the grave. He is the one person we are to have faith in to have eternal life. 1 John 5:11 and 12. "This is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Paul's good news of the kingdom is concisely stated here. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus." Note, it says repentance and faith in who? The Lord Jesus. That is the message the devil hates, attacks, and will endeavor to distort. He tries to stop all soul winning because the gospel, that is the one and true gospel, the one and only gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. The devil will try to distort and thereby reduce the message down to worthless words. He'll try to distort the meaning of the word believe that we have to have in Jesus. He'll try to get people to omit the word repentance or distort the meaning of repentance. And he will also try to deny or distort a continuous tense belief in Jesus, which will result in eternal life in the end. In other words, the devil does not want people to know that they must continue in the faith, as we read in Colossians 1:21-23, and endure hatred to the end to be saved, based on Matthew 10:22, as Jesus taught. Paul's method for soul winning was simple. It says in Acts 17:17, "So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there." So Paul went into the synagogues and the marketplace, that is the public place, and reasoned from scriptures, that is the Bible, with anyone he could who came by. Religious or not, everybody needs salvation and therefore must get the truth of God about how to get their hearts purified from sin. So Paul took the gospel, the salvation message about Jesus, into the synagogues and into the marketplace. The 12 also, that is the 12 apostles, did a similar thing. They took the gospel into the temple courts as commanded by the angel of the Lord. We read in Acts chapter 5, verses 19, 20, and 21. "But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. 'Go, stand in the temple courts,' he said, 'and tell the people the full message of this new life.' At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people." Philip is the only Christian in the Bible called an evangelist. He never preached in a building or a so-called church of our day. Instead, he took the gospel to the lost in public. In Samaria, there was a great number of people that came to salvation through his preaching. To preach the message of the good news of the kingdom will quickly and instantly bring people to eternal life if they have a faith in Jesus that will submit to his lordship and follow him. The gospel message, if preached correctly, will cause people to put their faith in Jesus, but the devil will surely try to hinder. 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul wrote, "I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." He said he endured everything for the sake of the elect. So what did he have to endure? Well, the answer in part is found in 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 27. "Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in a city, in danger in a country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food, and I've been cold and naked. That's what he endured, folks. He endured all that for the sake of the elect. 1 Corinthians 10:33 says, I try to please everyone in every way. I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Paul wrote Timothy, his spiritual son, and he said, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. The soul winner's world is filled with excitement, joy, and suffering for the gospel. As with anything else, the soul winner will also face temptations, which we must be mindful of and resist.
All Christians have been entrusted with the responsibility of spreading the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a tragedy that so few are doing anything about the gospel and its conditional security for the believer in Christ. If that has been you, you need to change for your sake and the sake of the lost souls around you. Please take this to heart. Let's return to Brother Dan.
The soul winner going forth with sound gospel tracts is super feared by the devil. We are a very serious problem for the devil because the message we are spreading about the Lord Jesus will change a person's heart and that person's spiritual identity if they act upon it, and it's printed out for them to verify and review. We personally have given gospel tracts to people who were scary to look at. Some were all tattooed up and looked like they were into some very bad stuff. And more than one actually thanked us for the gospel tracts. Now here's something important to remember. The parable of the sower. It is very revealing for the soul winner. There are four types of people that the seed fall on that hear the word of God. According to Jesus, the seed or the word of God falls on the path, in rocky places, among thorns, and on good soil. The goal is to produce fruit. And only the seed that falls on good soil brings forth fruit. Both the seed that fell on rocky soil and among thorns brought forth spiritual life for a time, but no fruit. And folks, remember what Jesus said. It is fruit or fire, according to John chapter 15, 5 and 6. When people reject the gospel tract and your witness, remember this. They're really rejecting the Lord Jesus and the Father, not you. Also know they know not what they do when they reject it. Luke chapter 10, verse 16 says, he who listens to you, listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. What moves me to spread gospel tracts everywhere I go is that I know most people are on the road to hell. And even the ones who are not have probably been adversely influenced by some kind of distorted message of our day, especially the perverted grace message called eternal security. I want to help people, and I know I can do that with God's truth. We are all commanded to let our light shine, and that's one of the best ways, and that is to witness. What gospel preaching is intended to do? Here's the answer. Acts 26, 17 and 18. Jesus said to Paul, I am sending you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Notice that. Our faith is to be in Jesus. If you don't have 100% of your faith in Jesus, somehow, some way, you have been deceived. Paul did that by reasoning from the scriptures with the gospel, and that is he witnessed to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to share something. Three witnessing encounters I recently had, which all initiated by me handing out gospel tracts within the past several weeks or so. Here are three of them, but folks, we have had perhaps thousands over the decades. The first one, my wife and I were in a medical building, and I handed a gospel tract to a woman who told me I should try going to the Catholic Church and check out their religious services. That led to a wonderful dialogue as she tried unsuccessfully to defend Catholicism in my presence. She was a convert to Catholicism and was zealous but obviously deceived. I told her I was a cradle Catholic who wanted to stay a Catholic but changed by reading the Bible. After about 5 minutes going back and forth with her, she was pretty much speechless. And I just listed point after point and reason after reason why the Catholic Church does not have the truth of God. It was a very memorable time for me, and I'm sure she would not soon forget it. I greatly enjoyed that encounter. Another one, here's the second one. I passed the salvation track on to a man who professed salvation as a Baptist. Our conversation also was very productive, which lasted for about 10 minutes. I shared many points on once saved, always saved being false, and that we must endure to the end for salvation's sake, as Jesus said. He stated he still believed that if a person strayed into sin, he would remain saved. I asked him what Bible verse he based that on, and he didn't have one. I told him there wasn't any, and that Jesus' sheep follow him, and Jesus gives eternal salvation to those who obey him, according to John 10:27 and Hebrews 5:9. I magnified that there are no Christian adulterers, no Christian drunks, no Christian thieves, no Christian slanderers, etc. I also mentioned people who believe in once saved, always saved, do not really fear God at all because they don't think they can go to hell anymore, and we fear God on the basis that he can destroy both our body and soul in hell, according to Matthew 10:28. He seemed very receptive. That was another meaningful conversation which began because of handing out a gospel tract. And here's the third and final one I'm going to mention in this message. I tried to pass a gospel tract on to an elderly man and he didn't want it. As I was walking back toward my car, a man in his car apparently saw what I tried to do and he was interested in what I had and what I had to say. That started a wonderful conversation about 15 minutes in length with him. I started that conversation with this kind of question, which I frequently ask people like that. I said, if I wasn't a Christian and asked you how to become a Christian, what would you tell me? After about a 30-second pause, he answered with, I would tell you to read the Bible. From that, I knew he didn't have the biblical answer he would have simply told me. He told me, believe it or not, about 6 months ago, he prayed for salvation and he's now going to a Bible study. He also mentioned he was raised a Catholic. I shared many important truths with this man, not only about Catholic errors, but also about once saved, always saved. And I warned him of the danger of the church he was going to, for in that church, the so-called Bible study is a distortion because the pastor there teaches once saved, always saved. I gave him a variety of gospel tracts, told him about our website, evangelicaloutreach.org, and also gave him our ministry phone number. It was time well spent, and it all began again with distributing gospel tracts. And listen to this, folks. Another very effective way to generate conversations about God and to get the gospel out is to wear witnessing shirts and or a witnessing hoodie when passing out gospel tracts. That makes your efforts even more productive. And by that, I mean this. Wear a bright colored shirt or hoodie, especially with the terms follow Jesus, turn from your sins, heaven or hell, obey the Bible, obey God, fear God, and the like. The words on our shirts are bold capitals so people can easily read them. My wife and I both wear our shirts and our hoodies based on the weather. Hers is pink and mine is safety green. We have gotten numerous compliments because of them, which led to additional witnessing opportunities. And remember this, it is always a definite win for soul winners because you acknowledge the name of Jesus before others and he in turn will acknowledge you before the Father. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. The Bible doesn't say the full importance of why we need to have our name acknowledged before the Father, but you can be sure that it is good, showing another great reason to witness to other people. If you are a soul winner, you are a wise person according to God's word. Proverbs 11:30 says, he who wins souls is wise. Another important thing to remember is, to be a soul winner is not going above and beyond the call of the Christian duty, but merely doing what the Lord commands. You are merely obeying, unlike most who profess to be Christians and who are not obeying Jesus in this area. Be faithful to continue to spread the message for the sake of souls. It might sound hard, but I want to tell you, if you're not trying to win souls, you're either number one, an unsaved person, or number two, grossly deceived and in great spiritual danger. Either way, you need to change and get serious about what God wants you to do for your own sake and the sake of others. To be fruitful, go by the Bible. Use the method shown in Scripture. Don't try to make friends with the lost before you tell them the most important message they could possibly hear about how to get their sins forgiven. The early disciples never did it that way. All Christians witnessed in the book of Acts. That means an outstanding characteristic of the early church was that they all witnessed. They were all soul winners. They all spread the gospel. The Bible says in Acts 8 verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. So who were scattered? In Acts chapter 8 verse 1, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church of Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And folks, that means everybody. Everybody left Jerusalem except the apostles. That means men and women. Everybody fled, and they preached the word everywhere they went. That included Philip, who went down to Samaria, and a great number of people came to salvation as he preached. After that, we read that Philip was sent into the desert road. It says in Acts chapter 8, 29 and 30, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. Notice, the Spirit told Philip to go. The eunuch wasn't going to be sent to Philip. Philip had to go to him. He went out into the desert road after one soul. It says in Acts chapter 8, 39 and 40, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The distance from Azotus to Caesarea is 60 miles. So Philip traveled 60 miles preaching his way over to Caesarea. Philip initiated that conversation with the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 to start the soul winning process. Just like Jesus did in John chapter 4 with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. There never is in the Bible an exact set of words or series of verses used by disciples when they went out soul winning. It depends on the people they were witnessing to. But the gospel preachers were aggressive and initiated the encounters they had. And remember this about the gospel. It is the dynamite of God. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew and then for the Gentiles. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." The word power in Romans 1:16 in the Greek is dunamis, and that's the word we get our English word dynamite from. That means the gospel is the dynamite of God, which will set a person free from his sin addictions if they act upon that message, and that message centers around the Lord Jesus Christ. The one and only life-producing message must be spread for people to know how to be saved, or people won't know how to contact Jesus' blood to be forgiven of their sins, and they will go to hell. Some people in our day use the Romans Road gospel presentation, but please know this, it is severely truncated and therefore highly misleading. Relevant passages in the book of Romans are omitted, which conceal the truth of a conditional salvation. Let me give you one of them, Romans 11, 19 through 22. It says in the Bible, "You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off." That was spoken to the church at Rome, those who had already been born again. Also see Romans chapter 2, 7 and 8, Romans chapter 6, 18, Romans chapter 6, verse 22, and especially Romans 8, verse 13. All those verses are related to salvation, which are omitted from the Romans Road to Salvation gospel presentation of our dark day. And remember this, if you are a Christian, you have a commanding officer. The Lord Jesus is a commanding officer. It says in 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Our commanding officer has said repeatedly, go. Not stand and wait around. He said, go. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And in Matthew 28:18-20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Notice the word go in those passages. One of the greatest verses in the entire Bible for soul winning is not in Mark 16 or Matthew 28, in my personal opinion. I believe it's in Luke 9:59-60. Jesus said to another man, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Imagine that. Jesus placed preaching the kingdom of God above this man burying his own father. In Acts 1, the 120 were in the upper room waiting for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in verse 8, this is Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So folks, again, we see that women were called to witness, not only in Acts 8, as I shared a few minutes ago, but also here in Acts 1. We know that because they too were filled with the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Jesus. And folks, of that number, that even included the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary. So even Mary witnessed to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, a monumental day in the history of the world was in 1445, and that was the invention of the printing press. After that, the Bible was printed, and of course, gospel tracts as well, which aided the spreading of the gospel itself. The biggest advantages of using sound gospel literature is the recipients can receive it and read it at their convenience. They might be too busy at the moment when they receive it to read it, but they could read it later. And the gospel tract will not forget key points. Furthermore, the gospel tract that people receive can be read hundreds of times and passed on to other people and even copied and circulated even more. Make sure that message on the gospel tract is in accord with the Bible, the life-giving gospel, with its conditional salvation. By the way, here at Evangelical Outreach, we give away free Bible-based gospel tracts to those who are too poor to pay for them. We have very sound gospel literature that you can order. But if you cannot pay for them in our Great Depression, our worldwide depression, we will send them to you free. The only stipulation is that you have to agree with our doctrine. If that is you, please contact us and we will proceed. You can also print out free gospel tracts from our website, which is evangelicaloutreach.org/printfreetracts.htm. Go there and print out free gospel tracts from your computer printer, as many as you want. We have a wide variety.
Evangelical Outreach proclaims and defends the Christian gospel. Please come to our website at evangelicaloutreach.org for much more Bible-based information. You may call us at 724-632-3210 or write us at Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Spread the word.